For as in the early days of the tabernacle that I instructed Moses to build in the wilderness, and the incense began to arise from before the Holy of Holies, with great pleasure I received those first burnings of incense representing the worship and the prayers of my people. But even then I sought for the day when I would have my own children on the earth born of my spirit, who could offer up the incense of true worship in spirit and in truth. And know this day your worship arises to me and brings me pleasure, brings me joy. And I look with great favor upon you all. And know this, there are oceans in front of you, depths of my treasures, depths of my riches that have been untapped for many centuries. But know this, you shall walk upon these waters. You shall walk upon these waters, and the very treasures of mine shall be yours, and the earth will be blessed and saved and healed, for I am the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, please continue, Jamie, just a little more. Kota maran dedif. In your presence is fullness of joy.
Jesus.
One moment in your presence.
Jesus.
One moment in your presence.
Jesus.
Is the treasure.
Jesus.
It's the pearl of great price. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you, Lord. Father, our earnest desire is that you have your way here tonight. Lord, we're doing our best to get out of your way so you can do what you want. All we can say, Lord, is we love you so much. We love you so much. We appreciate you and love you. We want more of you. Father, we thank you for your hand of blessing here tonight. Give good gifts to your children. Touch them, Lord, not only in this place, but everyone connected around the world. Have your way in this place, Father. Have your way in every place where they've joined. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, you can say, amen, amen. Well, it's hard to know what to do sometimes. I tell you, His presence is so strong like that. What's better? What's better than that? I'm so full, I have to wait for His direction. I feel like He wants me to just share a few things, and how much we'll get into the Word, I just don't know. We'll see. I do know this about this revival. He has said in no uncertain terms that this revival shall be known in history, if the Lord tarries, as the presence revival. Now, they may call it the third awakening or something else. But it will be known for the presence revival, and not just through a few like has happened in the past. I thank God for the leadership. There will always be leadership in the church. The Lord decided that, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, so forth. But this one, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You yourself are going to carry the presence of God to the point it's going to affect the atmosphere around you. People will feel it without you see it saying a word. In fact, they will feel it to the point they'll ask you, what is that? And you'll be able to tell them then. It's going to be a whole different sort of revival than we've known in the past. And it is, revival is now. Jim heard accurately. Revival is now, even though we're going to walk into deeper and deeper manifestations of it. Now, if you hear me, I'm preaching a little different these days. He's training me how to follow him a little differently through the services. In fact, as most of you know, you could go back 15, 20 years in my messages, and most of them start with, open your Bible too. I love the Bible. You know that. But he's teaching me how to use his word, following the Spirit more. In fact, I want to admit something to you that I'm a little bit embarrassed about, but I'm a little bit not. I didn't realize till I arrived in Dayton I didn't bring my Bible with me. Y'all just don't know. Because he's been so teaching me how to minister, just let the word come forward through me. Now, I did find a nice giant print Bible on the back of one of the pews that I'm going to borrow while I'm here. I'm not stealing it, Jim. I'm going to borrow it while I'm here. Because I think he is going to have us read some passages. But if you see me hesitate with longer pauses than has been in the past, I'm just waiting for the direction. Because it's more important that he speak with you than I speak with you. In fact, just lift your hands for a moment. Frotarikai, brandora me sarakuma. Frandola me ke, fratoro me kwe. For my voice shall become very precious to each of you. My sheep do hear my voice. And each of you is in a mode of training. And I'm speaking not only to those in this room, but all that join either today or even in the future. By watching at a later date, I am training you now, says the Lord, to hear my voice in a way that's beyond anything you've walked in the past. It will be as your friend. I will walk with you as your best friend, the one you confide in, the one that you trust with your deepest, darkest secrets. I have already seen you at your worst, and I love you, says the Lord. I love you. You've already shown me that you will obey what I say. And even when you hesitate to obey what I say, it's because you're, most of the time, you're not sure that it was me. But as you continue on this path, you will come to such an intimacy with me. You'll know my voice more than you know the voice of your spouse, better than you know the voice of your closest friend. My sheep know my voice, says the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. See, I wasn't expecting that. Hallelujah. I want a big 5-gallon bucket load of that myself. People say, ask me after Bronx, Gary, what are you going to serve tonight? Well, I'm from the South. We serve bologna. Now, if we really go high a dollar, we serve smoked bologna. So. I don't care anything at all about highfalutin messages. I care about the Lord ministering to you himself. I believe he's really going to do that. Yes, sir. Okay, there it comes. Sadadike. I'm going to ask somebody for a favor. It's my fault. I forgot to bring a bottle of water. And I'm probably going to need one. Thank you so much. I need all the help I can get. I thank God he gave me an Angie and a Kevin to help me. And then Vladdy was helping me earlier tonight. And you know, I come in, I'm ready, you know. He says, well, Mike is waiting for you in Jim's office. I went, Mike? Mike is waiting for me? Yes. You need the microphone. Yeah, I'm ready to preach and no microphone, you know. Thank you. Thank you so much. He didn't open it for me, though. Whoops. I was trying to sneak a last bite of chocolate cake at lunch, and I was walking out, and Barry left some chocolate cake, you know, so I was trying to get it, and I forgot I had my mask on. It just doesn't work. I mean, go home and rinse the chocolate out of my mask. Hallelujah. Okay. Revival is now. Say it with me. Revival is now. If you, yes, go ahead and open up. Go ahead. Never going to let me do it. Thank you, Lord. Open up to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And if you try and look up the word revival in an English King James Version Bible, you won't find that English word, revival. Doesn't mean revival's not in the Bible, though. It is in the Bible all over the place. And I don't know how far we're going to get into this lesson tonight. All I can do is follow. Is that okay with you? If we get through in 10 minutes, is that okay with you? Well, good. If we get through in 4 hours, no, I'm teasing. Now, a little bit of context here. I'm not going to lift this one out of context. This is Acts chapter 3. Everybody knows what happened in Acts chapter 2, right? That's the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the beginning of Joel's army. We know that because Peter... They thought the people were drunk. They're staggered around speaking these languages they never learned. But to the people, it looked like they might be drunk. So they might have been kind of staggering under the power, you know. And Peter says, no, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the ninth hour of the day or third. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. And he says, no, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So we know that is the beginning of the days of Joel's army right there. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Well, there's been measures of that over the centuries, but we're coming into the time now of the full manifestation of Joel's army. I thank God for the leaders we've had in the past, the Smith Wigglesworths, for example, and the Amy Simple McPhersons and all the ones that have pioneered. We're standing on the shoulders of all of them, really. Thank God for the miracles that He was able to do. It's always God doing it, doing the work. It's always the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Smith himself shared a vision that he had with Lester Sumrall. And it was right at the beginning of World War II. In fact, Lester had just gotten notified by the English government that he was going to have to leave the country, because it was apparent war was about to break out. So he wanted one last visit with Smith Wigglesworth. So he goes over to visit with him, and if you read the history, they had some wonderful times of fellowship, you know, and thank God for Lester. But Smith says, I see the future. I see what's coming. And this was right before World War II, but he saw first, he said, I see a healing wave that is coming right after the end of this war. And how many know that really happened? That's right after World War II. They had the Oral Roberts and the Jeffries. I can't even think right now. Names escape me when I'm like this. But you know those great healing revivals. They were everywhere. And then he says, I see after that. He says, I see a, a move where people are going to be, the gifts of the Spirit are going to start manifesting and people are going to start speaking with tongues more and more. It's going to spread through all the denominations. And we know what that's called, the charismatic renewal. And we've seen that still going on to a certain extent. And then he said, after that, I see another wave. And this one, I see coliseums and big buildings being filled. And people are coming in, but they're carrying books and notepads and pens and paper. And it's going to be a great teaching period. A time of knowledge will increase concerning the Word of God. And how many know we've lived through that? See, and I believe we're really right at the end of that era. Now, although there is more mysteries to be prayed. More mysteries to be prayed. But he said, oh, I see another one after that. And he said, this will be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. He said, all of the gifts will be in manifestation through all of the people. They'll be everywhere. And it'll be a harvest unseen since the dawn of time. We're right on the cusp. In fact, say it with me again. Revival is now. I believe it's already started. I believe it really has already started. So the word revival itself, I've had people email me, you know, naysayers. Bless their darling hearts. I'll just let it lie at that. Well, revival, the word revival is not in the Bible. Well, again, starting in context, Acts chapter 2 was the beginning of Joel's army. It's the beginning of the outpouring. This is that. Acts chapter 3, what we're about to look at, comes right after the lame man was healed at the gate Beautiful. You remember that? This is more than just a lame man. He said he was lame from his mother's womb. This is a birth defect. This is something usually even modern science today has no help for. You know, not somebody born that way normally. Yet, by the name of Jesus, and we're not preaching on that message today, but they thought it was something special about Peter. You know, said, well, why look on us like it's by our own holiness or something about us? No, he makes it real clear. It is that name, through faith in that name, that this man stands before you healed. I want you to know you have the same name. We have been authorized by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to go forward in His name. Well, as Peter explained, he preached the message and he tells them, you are the ones that crucified, you killed the Prince of Life. He's talking to the Jews that were there that were all drawn in by this mighty miracle. Everybody in town knew this guy. He'd been sitting there for decades probably, begging at the gate Beautiful. And so when he's leaping and walking and praising God, it got their attention. But Peter starts preaching to them. And so we're going to pick it up here. In fact, we'll just pick it up in verse 12. I'm after verse 19. At least I'm not making you start in Genesis 1. Come on. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here it is. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now here's our verse. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now if we just stopped right there, there's enough right there to worship God for the rest of our lives. Just the fact that His blood has washed away my sin. I could worship Him forever just for that. That your sins may be blotted out. But now notice this. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now I could go on. It's all so wonderful. But I really want to focus tonight to introduce what we're going to speak about. Verse 19. There's two words in there I specifically want you to pay attention to. And it's the word refreshing and presence. So he says about, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times, now notice that word is plural, times. Does times mean more than time? More than once. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. How many years I skipped over, just read that verse and just kept reading it. And it's amazing as you mature how He will grab you with things that you know, 5 years ago I couldn't have seen it. I just couldn't have seen it. Looking up that word refreshing, I'm a teacher now, get ready. Strong's number G403. I've quit trying to pronounce these a long time ago. You already know I don't speak Greek, and neither do you, so shut up. Okay. Well, what word is it? It's G403, just like I told you. Okay. And what does it mean? A recovery of breath. That is figuratively revival. Now that's Strong's. Revival. Now the image, recovery of breath. Now Bronk is a runner. Actually Bronk and Candy both are runners, but Bronk, he not only runs, he runs up Turkey Mountain. We have a mountain in Tulsa that everybody goes to for exercise. I walk the Kitty Trail. It goes around the base of the mountain. Bronk doesn't just go up the mountain. He runs up the mountain. Now, I've never seen him do it. I'm taking his word that he does it. But if he runs really hard up that mountain, at the top, there may be a moment of, what's happened? Well, he's used up his breath. And he needs a recovery of breath. Could I say it this way? He needs to be revived. See, that's really what revival is. It's a recovery of breath. Now, just remember that for later. You'll like this little tidbit. This is free. We're not going to charge an additional offering for this. Did you know the English word refreshing, like in there, only occurs twice in all of the King James Bible? This is one of them, of course. I want to ask you to turn to the other one. Isaiah 28. Verses 11 and 12. This is the only two places. Acts 3:19 and Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. Glory to God, I still hear pages turning. Hallelujah, in 2021. Now I use it. Anyway. For with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Hallelujah. This is the refreshing. Paul talks about this very passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that it is prophetically speaking. I know at the time he was talking about an invading people that spoke a different language, but prophetically Paul verifies in 1 Corinthians 14, this passage prophetically was speaking about us being able to speak with other tongues. It is the rest. You want to be revived? Have a season of praying in other tongues. Let the Holy Spirit pray God's perfect will through you, just like Bronk was reading to us this morning from Romans 8:26. For when we know not what to pray as we ought, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He does it with groanings that can't be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But He will make intercession for us according to the perfect will of God. Glory to God. Anyway, I just had to throw that in. I just think that is just cool. The only two places, and this is the, repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times, plural, of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. These times, plural, of refreshing. The previous chapter is the first time anybody could even do this. Pray in the Spirit. Pray those times of refreshing. Hallelujah. All right. Now let's talk about the word breath for a minute. Because if that refreshing means a recovery of breath, what is the New Testament Greek word for breath, Dr. Jim? It's pneuma. Same word for spirit. Now, isn't that interesting? So you could say a recovery of breath, or you could say a recovery of spirit. Just file it away for a minute, okay? Now, when he says presence, this refreshing, this breath, this recovery, where does it come from? He said it comes from the presence of the Lord. All right? The Greek word for that is Strong's G4383. Not going to try and pronounce it. And it means the front, like not the back, but the front. It means the countenance. It means the appearance. It means the face. The face. The fashion of a man. A person's presence. But in the face. Thayer's dictionary, T-H-A-Y-E-R apostrophe S, his first definition, the first thing that he says, it means the face. The second thing, the front of the human head. Is that clear enough? I love it. The front of the human head. So let's put some of this together. Now let's think here. Okay, we're talking about these revival. We're talking about refreshing. To be revived. Revival is now. So refreshing, it does mean revival. It means recovery of breath. It means it comes from the presence. But wait, not just presence. From the face of God. Now, if you were out of breath, if you collapsed, let's say you watch Bronk run up the mountain. Let's say Gary. I'll just pick on me. Can y'all tell I'm not in the same shape as Bronk? Okay. I know you're nice. You don't have to answer that. I can tell. So I'm going to do like Bronk, right? Well, Bronk, he may wheeze just a little bit. When he gets to the top, I'm dead. I have expired. And Bronk comes back. And he says, oh, my brother, he needs breath. What am I going to do? And it's male to male, but I can't help it. He bends down. He starts doing CPR on me. And I'm still not getting it. And from his face, he breathes breath into me. And that's what God does when we get in His presence. Just like the original man Adam that He made out of the dust, and God breathed into him the breath of life. It's the same thing now. Oh, glory to God. Stay here, feet. Stay here. Glory to God. It's spiritual CPR when you get in His presence. I've been meditating this for a few weeks. I need Bronk to come stand right up here for a moment, please, sir. And you're going to have to take off your mask. I know it's illegal. We're rebels here. I know you hate to do it. Take off your mask. Now, he's going through a recovery of breath right now. All right. Now, what I'd like for you to do is just face the crowd for a moment. Jim, would you mind to help with this? You get to take off your mask just for a moment, please. Go, Glory. Now, we're going to talk about presence. And while we have this image here of face to face, I want you to understand. See, turn that way for a minute. Just face that way. See, right now, Jim is in the presence of Bronk, isn't he? I mean, he's within proximity. You say, well, okay, see, God is everywhere. I've been meditating on all this for a long time, see. God is everywhere. David said, I couldn't even go into hell and you not be there. God, if you take it that way His presence is really everywhere. But how many of you know on Mount Sinai, when the thunder and the black cloud and the lightnings and the trumpet, there was a different presence, different manifestation of presence at the top of the mountain than there was at the foot of the mountain. In fact, the people that were at the foot of the mountain, when they saw the presence, they backed way up. So there's different manifestations. You can be in the presence, like Jim is in the presence. Now come closer, come halfway. Jim's been seeking Bronk. No, stop, stop. That's a born halfway, brother. He's been seeking Bronk. He's been trying to, I need to be in the presence of Bronk. Well, he's closer. Isn't he closer? Okay, well, that's good. Keep seeking. Go about another half. Got another half. See, and he's really doing well. He's getting closer all the time. But you notice, he's not seeing the face. There's not yet fellowship. He's closer. But now Bronk, suddenly turn around. Go halfway again. Now he's close enough to be in intimate fellowship, face to face. And he is ready to receive whatever Bronk has. Can you see that? You receive it. It specifically comes from the face of God. That's important. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. Give him a hand. Glory to God. This is why he's having us ask, seek, and knock. We're going to go ahead and going over to Luke 11. He's had me in that for over a year, I think, Luke 11. Let me read some of this to you the same way that I wrote it here. I was meditating on this. Even I wrote this since we arrived in Dayton. But refreshing, revival, it's a recovery of breath. We could say it's a recovery of spirit. From the very presence, from the face of God, it is like spiritual CPR where God is going to breathe. He's going to revive you. More of His Spirit coming into you. Just like Bronk would have to breathe breath from the inside of Bronk into me to revive me. God does that when we're in His presence. And I mean in His face. That kind of presence. He knows you're there. You know you're there. Okay. Now, this is why Jesus... Okay, let's go ahead and go over there for a moment. I got to finish reading that. Did I say go to Luke 11? Okay, I'll do it in a minute. He breathes more of His Spirit into you. I'm going to give you a preview. See, Luke 11, I don't know how many years you can read a passage and just not see it. I knew Luke 11 was all about the bread for revival, the kind of bread that we're supposed to deliver to the world. I'm talking about where's my Cheryl from Houston? Raise your hand, Cheryl. This girl is sick. She's a nurse. Stand up for a minute. Let them see. I got to visit with her just a little. Now, she's a nurse. I know we have other nurses in here. She is sick of people being sick, having to deal with it on a daily basis. She's here for that very reason. She's seeking the very face of God. Just like all the rest of us. We're in this together. Because we're supposed to have bread to deliver to the sick. And that there's no such thing as impossible. There's no such thing as too late. There is no such thing as cancer being above the name of Jesus. The problem is we've not had the bread to deliver. But the problem's never with God. The problem's with us. Thank you, Cheryl. We've got to learn... So the part I missed for years, I knew it had to do with delivering the bread. I knew Jesus was teaching on that. And how I could read it and not see the ask, seek, and knock. Because God really isn't like that guy that He describes there that's behind the door. He has the bread, but He won't rise. It's midnight. It's too late. And the way it's worded, it says, my children are here with me. What does that imply? Like, you're not His child. And Jesus, the whole purpose of the parable, your father is not like that. Which of you withhold any good things from your children when they ask? And if we, being evil compared to Him, know how to give good things, it says, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those that ask Him? But what He says, that He gives the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we came after bread. I know. That's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we wanted to be able to deliver healing to the sick. I know. That's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. If you spend time with me, my Spirit gets in you. Now see, this is a question that I've had. It has to do with this manifested presence because Dave, Pastor Dave Roberson taught us eloquently, and I believe he'll teach us more. But he taught us eloquently what's going on when you're praying in other tongues. It's not you creating those syllables. It's the Holy Spirit creating the syllables. He's the one. It's as the Spirit gives the utterance, right? So when you don't know what to pray anymore, we yield over to Him, and He prays the perfect prayer. But it's Him creating the syllables. So I'm going, well, I have to have the Holy Spirit because I can't pray in tongues without the Holy Spirit. Could I say it this way? The presence of the Holy Spirit has to be in me if I'm speaking in other tongues. Because it's not me creating the language. It's Him creating the language. And Dave taught us eloquently how in us, our spiritual mind, there's a place where the transfer is made from the Holy Spirit's spiritual mind to our spiritual mind. Then we're able to articulate that with our tongue. But it's Him creating the language. So I go, well, God, I've got the Holy Spirit. Can I use the phrase, baptized in the Holy Ghost? I can pray in other tongues. But I've prayed for so many that had cancer or some other terminal, not just me, we've all have. And we thank God for the ones that made it. But there's too many that we lost. There's too many that we lost. The cancer took them out. So God, you got to show me I know I've got the Holy Spirit, but there's got to be and that's when He started showing me things like there's a different manifestation at the top of the mountain than there is at the foot of the mountain. There's different levels of manifestation. So Luke, I know I had Luke, this Bible, it does have a Luke. Okay. Luke 11. Now, we're just going to get started on this, okay? But I think it's important because most of you have heard me say many of these same things already, but many maybe have not. Let's read this whole passage, Luke 11, down through verse 1 through 13. And it came to pass that as He, now it's talking about Jesus, it came to pass that as He, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, now notice, when He stopped, they didn't interrupt Him, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now let's stop for a moment before we go on. First off, Jesus was praying privately. He had either stepped off far enough or walked away far enough. They could not hear what He was praying. Otherwise, if they'd have heard it, they wouldn't need to ask, teach us to pray. Isn't that right? But they saw a pattern with Jesus. He would go off and maybe after the day's ministry was done, He would go off to the mountain by Himself. He would go off into the desert by Himself. Just Him and His Father. And they'd watch Him. They'd see He's gone seasons of prayer again. He's gone to be alone. We're talking about intimacy this week. To be alone with His Father. And they'd watch Him have those times of prayer. And then when He would come out, Shazam! The blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf, the dumb spoke, healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness, and then he'd watch him go do it again. I don't know how often or not, I'm not saying he did it every night, I don't know how often he did it, but it's more than once we see where he would go off. I would call it now a time of refreshing. He would go off and be alone. So they're seeing this pattern, so they're asking Him, well, can you teach us to pray the way you're praying? Because we see what happens after you pray. We don't know what you're praying, but whatever you're doing. Wow. Can you teach us to pray? So He begins to teach them. And of course, He starts off with the Lord's Prayer. And it's the pattern. It's not the verb, you know, He never intended for that to be verbatim, the words we say every time. It is the pattern of prayer. But He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Now we could do whole seminars on every sentence in this prayer. But that's not for today. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. We're going to come back to that. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now verse 3, where he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Jesus taught this same prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Now in Matthew chapter 6, when he expounds on the prayer, he focuses on getting to know God as your provider. And there he's talking about your daily bread in the sense of all your needs being met. He's going, you don't need to be like the Gentiles who don't have a father. You don't have to, Dave would say it like this, you know, the Gentiles that don't know God from the really the birth to the grave, their whole life is about what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, what are we going to drink, how are we going to live. He says you don't have to live like that. You have a provider. If you will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So in Matthew 6, when he talked about the bread, there he's emphasizing getting to know God as your Father, getting to know God as your provider. But here, this is revival. When he talks about bread here, he's talking about the bread that we need to deliver to the world. So let's look at it here. Verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now let me just stop and I'll just confess. I have lost some really dear friends. We have lost some really dear friends. I'm just going to pick cancer. And I have milked every, like Dave would say, every fiber, every cell of my being for faith. Praying with all that I knew how. Praying with all the faith I knew of. But the end result, they died. Now, not all of them. Thank God for the ones that we've seen. But I can't tell you the number of times I've felt just like that. I have nothing to set before them. Here's a friend, a servant of, and maybe they've served God, and it's not always a sinner, you know. I mean, what I mean is an unbeliever. The Mary Corbetts, the Helenas, the Rudys, the ones, the good friends that we've lost. And then the lack of bread. Like Cheryl, I'm sick of it. Sick of being without the bread. Let's go on. So we've come to God. Part of why we're at this conference, God, we know, we understand, we ourselves have nothing in ourselves. Just like Peter said, why look on us? We've come to you. You're the one that has the bread. Now, first, Jesus gives an example of what God is not like. Which of you has a friend like this? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and that just means your unashamed boldness to ask, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, he's showing us right here what God is not like. What prayer did we just pray? Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Write it down, mark it down. It is God's will that we deliver the bread. Now, it is God's will that we deliver the bread. You need to get that straight. He is not like this guy at all. The devil will have you think you're not a child of God. You're not worthy. Why should I rise and give you the bread? That's not God. God is more like, Bronk mentioned that pretty lady, Candy. Names. Candy, he's already bought the gifts for the grandchildren. What is this, day 2? Grandmother has already got the gifts for the grandchildren. And if she's like that, being, quote, evil compared to God, how much more. If she's already thinking about gifts for her grandchildren, how much more does our Father want us delivering the bread to every person in that hospital? I'm looking forward to the day. Yes, I left out part of Smith Wigglesworth's prophecy. Right near the end of it, he said, I see entire hospitals being healed. From Smith Wigglesworth. He saw that ahead of time. How many are looking for the day? I love St. Jude's. I love St. Jude's. We give to St. Jude's every month. Because right now it's the only kind of bread I can help with. But I'm looking for the day. Them little bald-headed kids, 5, 6 years old. Been attacked by the devil. God, give us the day. I'm looking forward to the day Joel's army goes through there. And we get every one of them out. God will find employment for all those employees. He's a good provider. He'll find them. You're willing to change jobs, right? Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Verse 9, though I say unto you. Now, he's letting us know God is not like that. I say unto you, ask. Well, ask for what? What's the context? Ask for the bread. He's calling for the hungry. You're not at this conference because you're not hungry. You're sick and tired of it also. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Are these red letters in your Bible? Can Jesus lie? I've been just walking the floor going, Jesus, you can't lie. I ask, and it is given unto me. I ask, and it is given unto me. I ask. I'm renewing my own mind. I ask, and it is given unto me. You cannot lie. These are the red letters in my Bible. You said it. You said it. You're not going to take it back. If I ask, it is given unto me. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And this is the part that I missed for so long. He said there's a door he mentioned up here earlier. The door is now shut, see? There's a door. For years, I felt like I was standing on God's front porch, and I knew God was in there, and He had the bread. And I'm like the guy asked, would you please give me the bread? I got a friend here who's dying. I need the bread of healing for my friend. But for years, I feel like I'm on the porch knocking on the door or whatever. And I think now I was expecting biscuits to come flying over the wall. Like I'm just going to stay out here and the bread will come. If that's the case, why in the world does He talk about knocking? Seeking. And it'll be opened unto you. The bread is in the house. We got to go to the Father. We got to go to His face. We've got to get in His presence. Because what you leave with, I'm preaching before I get to the end of it. What you leave with, it doesn't say you leave with the bread. It says you leave with the Holy Spirit. But I could talk with tongues before I started this. You need a bigger measure. You need to be revived. You need breath, a recovery of breath. You need me, God, to breathe from my face, from my presence into you, the bread of heaven, the Holy Spirit. He is the molecule changer. He is the manifester on planet Earth. We get it from His presence. You don't get it some other way. I'm finding that out. You get it from His presence. This is exactly why Jesus would go off and spend those nights. I'll get to that part in a minute. Let me finish it up here. For everyone, verse 10, everyone that asks receives. What are you going to do with that, church? Red letters. What are you going to do with that? Well, I asked and I didn't receive. Somebody's lying and it ain't him. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. See, I don't care if I was in a meeting with 14 gazillionaires. And I'm in a big high-level meeting with 14 gazillionaires. You know, that's a lot. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of this meeting, when my little Lily Cakes, my little granddaughter, little blonde-headed, blue-eyed thing about this tall, I'm right in the middle of this meeting with the gazillionaires. And Lily comes up and starts tugging on my pants leg. Papa. And I look around, I see it's her. Gazillionaires, you're going to have to wait. I have something important to deal with. And that little girl could pretty well ask me for just about anything. And if it's in my power, she's going to have it. That's exactly what Jesus is trying to convey to us. We are His children. He is more eager for us to go away with the bread than we are to have the bread. That's what He's trying to convey to us. But I never understood it till recently. You get it from His presence. He breathes into me. He revives me. He breathes His Spirit into me from His face. I've got to be in His presence. I can't be on the side of Him. I can't be behind Him. Going to church is not enough. Singing songs is not enough. It's intimacy. I've got to be in His presence. Or I can receive from Him the very life, the Holy Spirit. Because that is how the bread is manifested. Glory to God. It's okay for me. I'm getting the wide hanky. I don't care if it's okay if I embarrass your people, right? Oh yeah. Harry and Sarah, stand up just a minute. These are two newlyweds. God arranged it where I got to sit behind them. Now right now they're being real polite. There's a little distance between them. But they're newlyweds. And I've been sitting behind them. They cannot sit next to each other without touching each other. I love it so much. They're leaning in. He's leaning this way. And she's leaning this way. And every now and then that hand, her hand will come up around him, you know. A little later his hand will go around her. They being in the same room is not enough. Being in the same pew is not enough. They need to be together. Now that is the picture of intimacy. Like Bronk was sharing from the Song of Solomon this morning. You can be seated in there. See, that we all remember that honeymoon stage. See, I've got a girl. I've been married to my girl 45 years now. I tell everyone I started carrying her books in the 8th grade. I'm still carrying them today. Now, it's not quite this way now after 45 years, but I mean for a long time. We couldn't even sleep. We couldn't go to sleep. Elbows had to be touching. Toes had to be touching. Something had to be touching. That's far enough. La, 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 la. I didn't always look like this. I'm just telling you right now. But intimacy. And that's exactly what's required for this. It's that intimacy. Come away. How many times in the 2020 blueprint did he say, come away with me? He's been trying this to get us to understand what's really important. This intimacy. let me finish the passage. Verse 10, for everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. I want you to take that as our absolute promise from Him that cannot lie. You are going to walk in this bread. You say it with me. Jesus cannot lie. When I ask, I receive. When I seek, I find. When I knock, it is open to me. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. See, he's switching it to family now. Started off, which of you has a friend? But we're not in a friendship relationship with God, really. We're in a family. I still say, real Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a family. You are His lily cakes. Can I say it that way? You are His lily cakes. When you knock at the door, He's going to say no. He's going to say, I've been waiting for you. Come on in. Come on in here. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father or a grandmother, will you give him a stone? If he asks a fish, you're going to give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, he just means compared to God. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? See, well, I came for bread, but I'm leaving with the Holy Spirit. He is the manifester of the bread. And it doesn't matter what they need. See, you're going forward with the authority of the name of Jesus, which is above every name. It doesn't matter what it is. You're going with the authority, the exousia of the Holy, of the name of Jesus. That's the authority. But after you've been in His presence, you're leaving with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to manifest that bread. What a great season. What a time to be alive. I'm going to share this last thing and then that'll be enough for tonight. Bless your heart. I'm having a good time too, though. I'm loving it myself. Teachers, we pray, we meditate, we write. We pray, we meditate, we write again. We correct a little, we adjust. That's what teachers do. So I write 100 lessons to myself before you get one, usually. It's been refined. So I wrote this the very first day that we were here in Dayton. So right after this passage here, I wrote this. Remember that Jesus had just come out of prayer and they asked Him, well, teach us to pray. And it's because they saw the pattern. Jesus would spend seasons of prayer with His Father. Then they would watch Jesus deliver the bread to the world. Every sort of healing, sign, and wonder would just flow from Him. Now remember, Jesus did nothing as God. Jesus, now, what I'm wrote here, I'll just go ahead and tell you all this. Right now, because of the present circumstance, Jim, Bronk, and myself, we are each other's pastors, along with Tim Stemple. And what I mean by that, and there's others that we bounce things off of. If I get something, I write something, and it's kind of at the edge of my understanding, I'm going, I better bounce this off of Bronk and Jim. Well, what I'm about to read to you, I was planning on doing exactly that. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3 paragraphs here that I wrote, and I'm going, I better talk with the boys. Just, that's okay, right? Y'all want us to be accountable, right? Okay. So I wrote this paragraph. Remember, Jesus did nothing as God. Jesus is teaching about how Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was born of God's Spirit, how He prayed and walked in power. Jesus is teaching how we receive the bread to deliver to those who need it. Now some might object and say, yeah, but Jesus is God in the flesh. That's true, isn't it? He had the Spirit without measure. That's true, isn't it? He is God in the flesh. And I wrote, that is true. But Jesus is telling us how He, the man, He also Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, stayed full of the Holy Spirit. He spent time in God's presence. Not just in the same room, not behind God, not to the side of God, but before His very face, where God could literally breathe more and more of His Holy Spirit into the man, Jesus of Nazareth. I'd never heard anything like that before. I was going to bounce it off the boys. But Jim Martin got right up here, and the first thing that happened, he delivered a prophecy. I'm going to read just the third paragraph. Even He, meaning Jesus, even He needed to press into me. This would come as a shock to many of my children. It is as though they believe that my son Jesus never needed to pursue my presence. But yet I want you to remember that not only was He Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but He was Jesus, the Son of Man. And as Jesus, the Son of Man, He needed to press into me. He set the example for this. And I say unto you, follow that example. And if you do, the time will come when you will press into a dimension of my presence and my glory in the same way that Jesus did. So God trumped Jim and Bronk and me. I heard that and I'm going, like, there's somebody else in my room. We get to compare notes, you know. We don't ever talk ahead of our services. And I listen, we all listen to everything, you know, that he, and on some Sundays, it's not always, but many Sundays, I'm going, it's just like,
left punch, right punch, and then two punches. I mean, it's just one. And we're going, I was telling that with Bronk one time. He went, there's somebody else here. Boy, that did it for me. Now, let me read you the next paragraph. So after he says that, I want to read that sentence again so it'll flow. And if you do, okay, he set the example for this. And I say unto you, follow that example. And if you do, the time will come when you will press into a dimension of my presence and my glory in the same way that Jesus did. I want to move through you to others the way that I moved through him to others. That's delivery of the bread. You are a joint heir with him. That includes inheriting the right for me to move through you as I did through him. For did he not say that if you believed in him, the works that he did, you would do also? So continue to press into me. Continue to seek me. Do not feel like it is a wasted time. And do not feel like all hope is lost. Continue to seek me. Continue to press into me. Those of you who have, you are at a place with me where you have never been. You do not feel it physically or emotionally. I'll raise my hand to that. The seeking time that I have spent has been 95% cracker juice. Dry desert time. I've only had a couple of little touches. But that's sure enough to keep me going for more. You do not feel it physically or emotionally, but spiritually, you are there. Continue on this path. Continue in this direction, and you will see me move. Glory to God. You will see me move through you in ways that you did not think were possible. Hello, Joel's army. But I say to you, you are my chosen vessels. It is my desire to work through you. So continue on this path. Continue to seek me. Continue to press into me and know the greatness of my glory and my presence and my move, says the Lord. Let's just stand with me for a moment. Would you come again? She knew it was coming. She was had a half a step already to the aisle. We've got to do some more, just some more. Oh, and she gets to breathe. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much. Father, thank you for such an encouraging word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reviving us again. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us what to do, how to receive the bread, because it's your will that we deliver the bread. Thank you, Father.